And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Welcome back, everybody. Pete, Anna, and Jake in the room talking fantasy and all those essential lists, sleepers, breakouts, rookies. That's the topic of conversation today. The show, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. How's it going, Anna?
Going great, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Nick Alberga still on vacation. He's slacking right now, but you know who's picking up that slack? Jake Hahn. Jake, I vote for you to replace Nick on this podcast forever.
I agree. It's great to be with you guys again. And it's difficult to replace Nick. Actually, it's not that difficult to replace Nick, right? We can pick up the slack, no problem here. And we got one of my favorite topics in fantasy hockey to discuss today with you guys. Sleepers, breakouts, those types of players. I think we're always looking for that next one. Pete, I know you put together an excellent list of some names to look at this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, then you start off this time of year, right? We're closing in about a month before the start of the season, and I love the early banter from Anna. That's what it's all about right there. We'll be doing our mock drafts in the future, but this is where you set yourself apart from the pack. And Anna, I want to get your thoughts on how you're going to approach this rookie class. Are you going to reach for a Celebrini or a Michkov? Are you going to wait deeper down the line and get like a Cutter Gauthier or a Rutger McGroarty or Yaroslav Askarov? There's a long list, 10, 15 players that are fantasy relevant in the rookie class.
There are some very good options. I think the safest bet would be a Logan Stankoven. You saw the way he succeeded last season with Dallas. He's got a little bit of that NHL feel under his belt, and the Dallas Stars are a rock solid team. I think they're going to be a phenomenal regular season team. So that's the one I've circled on my preseason draft list. But Jake, I have a question for you. When we're taking a look at the Macklin Celebrini's, Will Smith's of the world, like just being on the San Jose Sharks, that kind of ruins their value, in my opinion. Maybe those are players I'm only targeting in dynasty leagues.
It's tough, right? It's tough to know what San Jose is going to look like this year, but I think I'm willing to take a flyer a little bit later in redraft leagues on some Sharks, just because the opportunity is going to be there, right? Like someone is going to get that power play time, the top line minutes. So I think these kids are going to get all the minutes they can handle early on, right? And they might not totally light it up, but I think there's going to be opportunities for them to step into that lineup immediately and have an impact in terms of the goaltending with Askarov. I think I'm off of him going into this year. I think keeping the puck out of the net is going to be a major challenge for San Jose, but I'm hoping they can create a little bit of offense with these kids in this lineup. And I do have some interest in the other California team as well, Cutter Gauthier in that lineup. He's got to hit the ground running, guys. You ask out of Philly and now you get to go to Anaheim. Like, I want to see this guy hit the ground running. Pete, I don't know if are you feeling Cutter Gauthier there in Anaheim? I know there's a lot of mouths to feed in that Ducks offense.
A little bit. I think with a lot of these teams that have recently got the number one pick, even look last year, like the two worst plus minuses in the league were like William Eklund, who I had high hopes for last year, didn't really deliver at all in fantasy, even in deeper leagues. And Connor Bedard was there too, as good as he was. I mean, he was a liability in that category, as were some of his line mates at different points in the season. So you have that same type of concern with a team like Anaheim. That said, I really like, as a breakout candidate from that team, and maybe it'll be by association, Leo Carlson, I think, with an expanded workload, Anna, could really bust out here.
I know you're a big fan of Leo Carlson, so if they actually let him play as much as he can, I think that's a player I'm circling. Mason McTavish as well, everyone. This is a very young team, so I know he's not a rookie, but he was my pick for like the Calder Trophy when he was a rookie, so I'm hoping he has a good year for himself. Another rookie that stands out to me, though, Pete, is Michkov on the Flyers, and I feel like the Flyers are kind of sneaking under the radar. When I look at their top six, I think their top six can produce a lot of points this season, and people are not giving them the value that they deserve, especially if he's playing on their top line. I really like that look for him.
It's a good team. Not enough people are talking. We always talk about the Atlantic. Maybe it's the best division in the entire NHL, but Philly, I think, is really likely to make the playoffs this year, whether they hop the Islanders, Jake, or even get in as the second wild card. They were holding a playoff spot for almost the entire season last year. They bowed out to the Capitals that last day of the season. But yeah, you mentioned it, Anna. The top six is stacked. We loved Owen Tippett in fantasy. Konechny, super consistent. Morgan Frost, underrated. Tyson Forrester, 20-plus goal scorer as a rookie last year. And then, oh yeah, this infusion of Michkov that could really have like a Kaprizov maybe type ripple effect on the team immediately, Jake.
Okay, while we're on Philly, guys, I want to get your take on this, the goaltending. I actually like a lot of things about Philly. All the things you just said, Pete, I'm excited about Flyers hockey. I think this team could legitimately make the playoffs this year. But the one thing really holding me back is the goaltending. It totally broke down at the end of the season last year. I think it was too much for Sam Harrison to handle. Now we have Fedotov there as well. Do we have any interest, Anna, in the Flyers goaltending situation? Do we run it back with Sam Harrison and see if he can hold it together for a full season, or do we go with Fedotov maybe because he's the great unknown and there could be a high ceiling there?
Do I have faith there? No, I really do not have much faith there. I think those two goalies, I'm taking a look on the waiver wire, or if I'm doing like daily fantasy or just like last minute decisions, that's where Philadelphia comes in. I feel like there's a lot of goaltender depth in the NHL now. A lot of teams play tandems rather than having a go-to starter. So you really shouldn't be in a situation where you're drafting like a guy from the Philadelphia Flyers when there are many, many better options in the league. But on the waiver wire, we saw Harrison go on runs last season, so he's a player to keep track of for sure. I just cannot get behind that. I think they're going to score a lot of goals and allow a lot of goals, Pete.
Well, there have been really good goaltenders under John Tortorella in the past, and I know that, I think, Jake, you mentioned on a previous show, like, that could steer you away from Michkov in year one, maybe a healthy scratch incoming at some point in the season, whether he deserves it or not. But I think it could benefit a guy like Fedotov when you look at the pedigree of Tortorella, and also just the fact that he was rushed into the equation last year, had some good games, had some blips on the radar. But I want to see this guy start fresh in training camp. His buddy, it seems like he's friendly with Michkov so far in the offseason. Maybe that's a new thing. Maybe they've known each other for a long time. Either way, it's good synergy, and I like Fedotov as a sleeper in fantasy.
I think they're going to give him a shot. Like, I think now we saw what we saw from Harrison last year, and guys, to me, I don't believe Harrison is a National Hockey League goaltender. I think he was an American Hockey League goaltender that Philly just had no other option last year. And he actually played well for the first half, and it just fizzled out, and he was what he was. So I think they're going to give Fedotov the chance because he's the great unknown, and there's a chance he could be legitimately good. So I think he's going to get that shot at least early in the season. So it might be worth a late round flyer as like your third goaltender that you take on your roster. Guys, I want to get your take on this player. I actually have a little bit of interest going into this season, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. Shane Wright of the Seattle Kraken. Can we get a little bit excited about Shane Wright? I mean, we've had a taste of him. I think we got to see him get an opportunity in Seattle this year, and I hope he can take it and run.
Well, I'm going to be excited about Shane Wright, Jake, because Burlington, Ontario's very own. We're from the same hometown. So there is nothing I would like to see more than a Burlington kid do well in the NHL. And he had all the hype going into his draft year, and then all of a sudden things just took a turn for Shane Wright. But he's played well whenever he's been in the AHL. We've gotten a little taste of him with Seattle where he was scoring goals. He was looking good. And I just think he has developed. He has all the skill set. There was a reason a lot of folks thought he was going to go first overall. And Seattle has the opportunity to kind of give him the playing time this season. And I think he's proven that he's ready to work at it this season, that it could be a breakout season for Shane Wright. I really, truly think so. I think we could be talking about him as one of the leaders on this Seattle team, because it's really anyone's team up for grabs in Seattle, right? Like, this team, there is really no trajectory with the way they started off their year and what they achieved in year two. Like, it's been a lot of like just throwing a dart at a wall and seeing what sticks in Seattle. And I would not be shocked if Shane was the next guy in that lineup, Pete.
It's just crazy how little patience we all have. We're guilty of it. Everybody in the hockey world, even more so, I think. We'll shed some light on some of these really young players, including Shane Wright. We have him projected for like 48 points. A lot of fans out there on social media took the under on that one, but I think he has high upside. There's also a guy like Jamie Drysdale, only 22 years old. It seems like he's been in the league for a while, but he's still a breakout candidate. Don't dismiss him on that Flyers team we talked about. Matty Beniers, down year after the Calder Trophy, right? Like, get back in on Matty Beniers in a keeper league on a discount right now. He's only 21. Dawson Mercer, down year, step back, only 22. Dylan Cousins, 2 years ago, was awesome. He's only 23. And Trevor Zegras from that Ducks team we mentioned earlier, Jake. There's a lot of talent in that group of players I just mentioned, and they're all being overlooked in fantasy.
Yeah, I think the Ducks are kind of fascinating to me as well. Like, I'm just waiting for that team to take a step, guys, right? Like, I get it for teams like San Jose and Chicago. You're early in your rebuild. You're, kind of stripping down the roster. You're looking like an American Hockey League team. But last year should have been a step for Anaheim. I mean, they had some pieces to at least be half decent. And yet again, they were at the bottom of the league. So I'm looking at the Ducks to take a step. And I think from a fantasy perspective, there's a lot of names. You just mentioned a couple of them right there, Pete, that I think we could get excited about. We can have a little interest. They don't have to make the playoffs, but at least push the pace and score some goals. So I don't know if there's a couple names in Anaheim that jump out to you specifically. For me, I'm probably looking still at a Cutter Gauthier because I think you can get him late. Maybe a Trevor Zegras bounce back like Pete just mentioned as well.
I think Gauthier has something to prove, so he's sticking out to me for sure out of all the names on that Ducks roster. But I agree with you 100%, Jake, about what you said. It's just really tough for me to analyze this team because when does this grace period for Anaheim end? You know, like they have all this young talent, their entire top six, all these names that Pete rattled off, they're younger than I am and they've been around for a long time. So you're wondering when the trajectory of this team actually takes a turn, and it really hasn't improved at all. Like, that's the problem I have. You don't have to make the playoffs. You have to go up the standings a little bit for me to have confidence in your system. And I feel like they just really have not showcased a lot for me to have faith in them as an entire team. I really think they're going to struggle again this year until they figure something out. Like, maybe the problem is they have too many young players and they don't have a veteran presence in the locker room, Pete.
I mean, they also have like a goalie dilemma because they have Gibson there for so long. He's been underachieving for years, unfortunately. Lucas Dostal has shown some nice spurts. I'd like to see him emerge eventually as the number one goalie. Maybe that'll be the point in the organization when, things take a turn for the better. Not to knock Gibson too much, but Dostal is a breakout candidate if that Ducks team exceeds expectations. And then before we get to more breakouts and sleepers, a couple other rookies I wanted to rattle off. I mentioned McGroarty from Pittsburgh. He could be the next wave of talent for Pittsburgh that could maybe keep Crosby in the building. So if they play together on the same line, I really like him as a rookie sleeper. Matthew Savoy up in Edmonton, potent offense. Josh Doan for Utah was really good down the stretch. Maverick Bork from the Stars. Artem Levshinov for Chicago, if he makes the team and plays a big role, could have a high point ceiling as a rookie. And then Lane Hutson. I know Nick Alberga likes him, so I really wanted to mention him, especially after the Patrick Laine addition, Jake.
McGroarty's fascinating to me because I look at Pittsburgh this year, guys, and I think this is the weakest surrounding cast the Penguins have had in a very long time. Now that Gensel's gone, like Crosby's still playing at an elite level. We love Sid. Gino's slowing down a little bit, but he's still going to do some Malkin things from time to time. But I look at the rest of that lineup and I go, man, it's looking pretty thin. So I feel like there's an opportunity if McGroarty's ready to go to maybe get up into that lineup. So he would be a bit of a late round flyer. And I do have some interest in Wahlstedt in Minnesota as well as a goaltending option. I know they've got a couple of other names there, so it's not going to be, hand the car keys over to him. But if he gets an opportunity at some point this year, I think he can run with it and show us that talent that some have been projecting for a long time.
And the Minnesota Wild, too, a team that underperformed. If we want to talk about a bounce back team, it's the Minnesota Wild. I think they have a lot of pieces that could result in them being a playoff team. The performance they had last season was definitely not what a lot of folks expected for Minnesota. So a healthy Kirill Kaprizov, everything in order over there for the Wild. I feel like Wahlstedt is a player that I'm also circling on this list. I know Pete and I have been pretty high on him for a while.
Right, all it takes is one injury to Gustavsson, who had a down year last year, and I know they'll be loyal to Fleury. He's still in the organization, but all it takes is one stepping stone, and that's what we saw years ago with Shesterkin when he entered the season as a third string goalie for the Rangers, and Lundqvist was there. There was that loyalty, but they made the good decision to start to gravitate towards Shesterkin, and I think they'll do that in Minnesota eventually with Wahlstedt as well. I like him more than Askarov and Dustin Wolf for Calgary. Those are two bad teams there. So maybe Wahlstedt ends up being the best rookie goalie this year.
Yeah, at least take the guy on the team that you think can win some games, even though he might not get the starts that those other two. I'd rather have less starts and those starts actually result in wins. And, have a team like Anna made the point, maybe Minnesota could be a playoff team this year. I would agree with that. I think they're going to at least push. I actually really like where Minnesota could be next year when those buyout penalties get reduced and they get a little cap space to surround this, what I think is a pretty talented roster. I'm very bullish on what Bill Guerin could do with that Wild team moving forward. But Wahlstedt, probably more of a, dynasty keeper league type look right now. But I think for a redraft league, maybe worth a late round flyer.
And just a last little piece of emphasis on the rookies, Lane Hutson. I know you mentioned him, Pete. The Montreal Canadiens, another one of those teams like the Philadelphia Flyers in my head that is just like sneaking under the radar. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Probably not. Do I think they're going to win a lot more games than they did last year? Absolutely. Are they going to be more competitive in the games they play? Absolutely. So I think that's a team that's not getting enough credit. I like the way their top six is looking. I like the way Lane Hutson's upside is looking. I think there's a lot of sneaky pieces on Montreal that at least you could pay attention to on the waiver wire if you're not paying attention to them in drafts.
No doubt about it. And two full-fledged breakouts that come to mind, Slavkovsky really dynamite down the stretch, and Cole Caulfield, if he popped out for 50 goals at some point as early as next season, nobody would be surprised, and he could do it with a quality centerman in the captain, Nick Suzuki. So let's talk about some obvious full-fledged breakouts, like maybe a Matt Boldy, who played a lot with Kaprizov last year. Wyatt Johnston, I saw he's going like in the 50s or 60s in fantasy, and rightfully so, Jake. I mean, he has been maybe the breakout player of the past calendar year, if you include the playoffs too, for Dallas.
Well, I know I've mentioned Dallas a couple times, and I do worry about the fact that they spread things out so much with their players that it might actually hurt their individual players offensively in fantasy hockey, where they're going to get drafted, because we all want Dallas Stars. We all know they're one of the best teams in the league. So I think people will be reaching to grab them, might be a little bit disappointed by the production, but it's hard for me to knock Wyatt Johnston in that range. The guy is just special, and he looks like most nights their best forward. So if I'm going to take a star, probably would be Wyatt Johnston. Lucas Raymond is another really interesting name, guys, as we talk right now. Doesn't have his name under contract. I don't know what Detroit's doing. They're just asleep over there. I haven't even heard any news on their restricted free agents. But Lucas Raymond, I'm assuming he's going to get a deal done. Anna, do we have any interest on him going into this year? I thought he was one of the more impressive Detroit Red Wings that I watched last season.
He absolutely was. The Detroit Red Wings are like Nick right now, Jake. They're on vacation. They're taking time off before the season starts. But I think just his lineup placement and having that exposure to Dylan Larkin and Alex DeBrincat, it makes it a no-brainer for me for Lucas Raymond. I think he showcased that he had a lot of chemistry whenever he played in their top six last season, and getting the lineup position he got, he thrived. So that's the player I'm looking at there. I have no idea what's happening with Detroit either, though. Like, I really have no idea. Like, a couple of months ago, we thought they were going to be like way ahead of their plan for rebuilding. They're going to be so competitive. And then all of a sudden they fall out and players are underperforming and they're getting Patrick Kane, but it's not doing much. And the Detroit Red Wings, I feel like that's the one team where I literally cannot describe what's going to happen this season. They could make the playoffs with a spot in the Atlantic, or they could completely miss the playoffs and be like one of the worst teams in the league. So it's high, high, low, lows in Detroit, but individual value wise, I think you could get Lucas Raymond at a very good point, Pete.
Yeah, he's super underrated. I think like we all have been high on Mo Sider. He's technically a bounce back candidate. He hasn't been quite as good as he was his rookie year, but it seems like Raymond just keeps getting better and better every year. It will be really interesting to see if he could stay on that top line and build off what he started with Dylan Larkin, because they have so many cooks in the kitchen, right? With Patrick Kane there and Alex DeBrincat there, and they added Tarasenko as well. So they have a really good top six. They probably have like a top 10, top six forward group in the entire NHL when you really look at the talent. But they'll need Raymond to continue to take a step forward and become an 85, 90 point player, I think, if they're going to really make noise in the playoffs. They could sneak in, but they're not going anywhere in the playoffs unless he really takes another step forward.
Pete briefly mentioned one of my favorite players in the entire NHL. He's one of my boys, Jake. I have a list of guys that I'm a ride or die for, and Matt Boldy's on this list. And I just think it's interesting that he's still being considered as a potential breakout for the season when he has had like over 60 points in back-to-back seasons. And last season, he almost had 30 goals again, and he only played 75 games. Like, he's a consistent 30 goal scorer. He's so young. He's going to be teeter-tottering around like the 70-point mark last season if he was healthy. So it's crazy that he hasn't even reached his full potential yet. I wonder like if he could be probably one of the biggest draft steals, because maybe some people still think like, oh, he's young. They don't recognize the fact he didn't play a full season. That's kind of getting into their head. I feel like he's going to be one of the sneakiest picks in drafts this year.
Well, I guess that's why you like Minnesota so much, right? If you like Boldy, you like Minnesota. One of my ride or dies is actually on the Wild as well, and Joel Eriksson Ek. We can get to him on a future show because he's already gone through his breakout process as well. But I like how much Boldy shoots the puck. I think Minnesota is going to score more than people give them credit for. To me, they have a legitimate top line, a legitimate looking power play, at least on paper. So I'm in on Matt Boldy. Another team I'm kind of in on this year, guys, that I think could make a legitimate push for a playoff spot, Utah. I don't know what we're calling them, the Ice Dragons, the Mountain Goats, or I don't know what the name is right now, but I think Utah is going to push for a playoff spot this year. And they've got a couple of interesting breakout candidates on there. You've got Logan Cooley. Dylan Gunther is a player I really like. We talk about someone that can rip a puck. Dylan Gunther is certainly falls in that category. So Pete, is there any Utah players you're interested in going into drafts this year?
They have good third liners too, but that second line really exploded near the end of last year with Gunther and Logan Cooley and Lawson Kraus. Kraus is a great category coverage guy. We could call him a sleeper every single year because nobody knows him. You know, 95% of hockey fans around the world don't know who he is, but like Owen Tippett, he's providing and Joel Eriksson Ek, really, really good category coverage, bar none. So I would say Logan Cooley I'm most excited about because Gunther was a point per game player over his final 21 games. Like, that's serious stuff. And I think Cooley will be on power play one, Anna. So Utah should be a lot better than last year. And they'll get a lot more attention this year going, you know, up to the mountains instead of being in the desert.
I think Logan Cooley is the player in their forward group that sticks out to me the most. But there's a couple of bounce back candidates on Utah that I would keep an eye on. Barrett Hayton, phenomenal lineup position if he's playing with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz. And I think that this is a new scenery, new opportunity. He's showcased that he has the ability to be productive. And then he just kind of had an off year. He was struggling a little bit with various things. So you wonder if this new opportunity allows him to bounce back a tad on their back end as well in terms of their defensemen. Like, we haven't even talked about that. Like, Mikhail Sergachev going to Utah was like when I woke up this offseason during the summer and I was like, what's happening? Like, hockey's back. Like, this is so crazy. So him being on this team, I thought he was going to overtake Victor Hedman on the Tampa Bay Lightning last season. So I think he's a player I'm monitoring because it's his blue line to dominate. And then John Marino for the New Jersey Devils, like, he had an offseason as well, but he has upside and he's so young still. So I wonder, being on this Utah team, having the opportunity to maybe get a little bit more playing time and just new scenery, he's a player I'm keeping track of in terms of waiver wires if he goes on a hot streak, Jake.
What about Buffalo, guys? There's some really interesting names there. Obviously, a younger, talented team that we're looking to see take the next step. I know we talked JJ Paterka on a previous episode as well. I've already said I'm in on him. I love what I've seen from that player. I think more offensive opportunity now that Skinner's not there. So with Skinner gone, is there an opportunity for maybe a Zach Benson, a Jack Quinn, one of these guys to step up into the lineup, Pete?
Yeah, I mentioned on a previous show, Jack Quinn, how I'm high on him, but some injury concern there. I think Benson's the guy. Benson's the guy that's going to play with Tage Thompson for most of the season. Last year, they rushed him into the equation, and he deserved it. He had a bunch of multi-point games, but then he had some, you know, fell short in some games and scoreless. And you come to expect that from a, whatever, 18-year-old rookie or something like that, 13th pick in last year's draft, and was right on the NHL roster for most of the season. So I'm very high on Zach Benson as a breakout candidate. He could emerge past all those guys and steal Skinner's spot, Anna.
Yeah, and Dylan Cousins as well, another player that has a lot of fantasy value. Like, two seasons ago, he had almost 70 points. So you wonder if there are more breakouts happening on the Sabres, because there's a couple of folks that could pull it off. The players they play with are going to benefit as well. So Dylan Cousins, another player I have my eye on. JJ Paterka, though, the player on the Buffalo Sabres I'm the most excited for. I think he's grossly underrated for the talent that he has, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had a massive, massive breakout season. And since it is the first week of football, go Bills. Okay, continue, Pete.
I wanted to talk about the St. Louis Blues, not the Bills. I think that the sneaky moves they made this offseason for Dylan Holloway on the offer sheet and also Philip Broberg, Jake Neighbors really popped off last year and could have a much higher ceiling if he's a fixture on power play one, really good even strength goal scorer there, Jake. So what are your thoughts on this team? It's a middling roster overall, but I think that those couple of young players at least points them in the right direction long term.
I think middling is the perfect word for this Blues team. This is exactly where I see them, maybe a point or two in or out of the playoffs going to this year. I think they even have admitted that they're average, and I'm curious what they do the next couple of years if they decide, okay, we're going to push some chips in the middle. We like this core group. We're going to try to make the playoffs and compete for cups with this team, or do we have to start to look in the other direction and admit, you know, this core group isn't good enough, but they've given, you know, big contracts to Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou and these guys. So they've committed to big chunks of this roster. I like Jake Neighbors a lot. I think when they use him as much as possible in a top six role on the power play, that's when this team is playing their best. So I'm going to trust that he's going to get those opportunities. And he's a St. Louis Blue that I'm certainly willing to draft and think could have that breakout season. Certainly not afraid to shoot the puck. So Jake Neighbors is probably where it ends for me. After that, I don't have a lot of interest in St. Louis. What about you, Anna?
That's where I'm at exactly, Jake. I just feel like the division they're in as well, there's like so many strong teams. It's not just like the Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, and everyone else. We're talking about the fact that Utah could make a push. Winnipeg is always circling around. The Minnesota Wild are a team that could make the playoffs. So what's left? It's like the Blues and the Blackhawks, right? And the Nashville Predators, they've improved grossly this offseason, and they also surprised everyone last year. So I just feel like there's not enough room to go around for the Blues to be a valuable team outside of Jake Neighbors. So exactly where you're at. And speaking about the Nashville Predators, another player that I have my eye on is Luke Evangelista. I think like he's someone I'm circling a little bit as well with the exposure he's gonna get with the additions they have. Nashville's gonna be like a solid team this year, Pete.
They are. I think Tommy Novak might be a teammate beneficiary if he's the second line center playing with like Stamkos and a Marchessault, maybe if they keep the top line intact. How are you going to approach Gustav Nyquist as a sleeper is a big question. A lot of people fading him this year, but he had his best career by best career numbers by a mile last year, Jake. So many guys in that equation. It's hard for me to pick those secondary guys for Nashville just because I don't know how the lineup's going to shake out.
Any breakout defenseman we can get excited about this year? I think it's always tricky for a defenseman to kind of break through and get that, you know, top power play role, because it could be hard to be productive from the back end if you're not getting that first power play time, right? You have to lean a lot on even strength scoring, and that can be a little bit difficult. I think the name that really jumps out to me is Jake Sanderson in Ottawa. You know, Jacob Chychrun moves on now. Thomas Chabot's still there, but I'm done trusting Thomas Chabot. I've been down that road way too many times. I think Sanderson's got to be the guy, Pete. Do you feel the same way for Ottawa this year?
I do. He's going to have a huge role now that Chychrun's not there anymore in all situations, and that's a good thing for him to grow. A lot of the other guys are by committee, like Brant Clark in LA is behind Drew Doughty. Thomas Harley has great edge metrics, so maybe look at him. He scored goals at a high clip in the past, even as a second guy, but he is still behind Miro Heiskanen in the pecking order. Bowen Byram's behind Dahlin in the pecking order. And then also maybe take a stab. We were talking about those Anaheim guys, Anna. Olin Zellwiger or Pavel Minchikov, both 20 years old, both high upside. I don't know which one it's going to be. Last year, earlier in the season, it was Minchikov actually looking like a Calder Trophy candidate. So maybe side with him this coming season.
If I had to choose between those two, I would definitely do Minchikov, because he showed flashes of just being stellar in the National Hockey League last year. The defenseman that sticks out to me, though, is someone you already mentioned, Pete. It's Jamie Drysdale. I feel like he's had a lot of injury issues, and in Philly, he's going to have some interesting opportunities, because that's one team where even if he's on the second power play unit, I actually like their second power play unit a lot. It has like Tyson Forrester on it. It has Sean Couturier on it. It has Joel Farabee on it. That's a team that splits the wealth when they're on the man advantage. So it's not like you have to be on that top unit with Michkov or Travis Konechny to have something going. Like, their second unit looks pretty much almost as good as their first one. So Jamie Drysdale getting that opportunity, I think he's the one that's really sticking out to me, and he has something to prove as well.
Bowen Byram's another interesting name. I know we went through Buffalo and their group of forwards. I think their group of defensemen is equally as interesting and impressive, right? All these young defensemen that they have now to complement Rasmus Dahlin. The problem with Byram is there's just so much competition back there for that power play time, right? We know Rasmus Dahlin's going to be locked in. So unless Buffalo goes two defensemen on that power play, which is possible. I mean, they could go Byram and Dahlin on the back end on that power play. Few teams do it now, but I think if you're going to do it, Byram's probably one of the guys you could get in there. So I'm a little lukewarm on him, Pete, but the talent is certainly there. I mean, I've always been fascinated by Byram. I just think there's too much competition on that back end in Buffalo for him to truly break out this year.
Right. With Owen Power too, not hitting his full stride, and that whole back end situation, like even Devon Levi still has upside if he sticks in the NHL. I know it's UPL as the number one right now, and I think they brought in James Reimer too to be the backup in the short term. So hold your horses, I guess, on Devon Levi, but he has a super high ceiling in the years to come. Other goalies on the breakout list, Jeremy Swayman, Joseph Woll, Pyotr Kochetkov are obvious names. Then you get deeper down the line, it's like Devon Levi, Arthur Seelovs. If Demko is not fully healthy, Seelovs got them out of the first round last year and to game seven against the Oilers. Really nice job by that young kid, only 23 years old, the clear backup now for Vancouver. And then Spencer Knight for the defending champion Panthers. If Bobrovsky falters at any point, opens the door for Spencer Knight to redeem himself a little bit in the NHL.
I like Joe Woll. I know Anna's going to be in on that as well. So we can agree on that one. I think Joe Woll could actually have a massive year this year for the Toronto Maple Leafs, taking over that starters role. Spencer Knight is another interesting one to me though, Pete. And I think the angle, the fact that Sergei Bobrovsky's played so much hockey the last couple of years, right? Two runs to the Stanley Cup final. He's getting older. Florida has to find him some rest throughout the course of the season if they want to make it three straight Stanley Cup finals. I think they know that. This is a conversation we had with Vasilevsky for the last few years when Tampa was making all those Cup finals. So I think there's opportunity there in Florida for Spencer Knight if he's good to go to get a handful of starts this season. But Anna, I know you're going to be in on our guy Joe Woll, right?
Of course I'm going to be in on Joe Woll. That is not shocking in the slightest, but I got to give a little bit of a shout out to Pyotr Kochetkov right now. He's my OG guy. I just think I'm more sold on him than the Hurricanes are sold on him. So that's why I would take him a little bit later. And Joe Woll is like sliding up my list right now. He's going to have a breakout year. I'm not even saying he might. I'm telling everyone right now, if you're listening, Joe Woll is going to be like the goalie that stands out in the NHL this season. I honestly think that he should be like a top 10 fantasy goalie right now, like heading into the year, Pete. Like, I know we have him ranked at 13 on our list, but for me, he could be literally 9 at this point heading into the season, because I think the Maple Leafs are a phenomenal regular season team. And if he's healthy, that's the only thing that's been missing for Joe Woll. I have not felt this good about a goalie in the Maple Leafs crease pretty much my conscious life watching the Toronto Maple Leafs, being a kid from Toronto. So I'm so excited for the season. And he's going to be the biggest star of fantasy drafts. I'm calling it right now.
Well, find someone that loves you as much as Anna loves the Carolina Hurricanes and Joseph Woll with those Maple Leafs under Craig Berube. They do have a lot of potential here in the upcoming season. Let's start looking at the actual nitty-gritty here and ADP figures. Jake, not sure how much you've dove into this so far, but I'll give you a couple of figures that I really like. Nikolaj Ehlers under the new coach, Arneil. He's only 28. He's 140.1 in ADP. I think he could have 70 points in a hurry if he gets more power play one usage. One of the best even strength players in the entire league. So based on that ADP figure, he's a sleeper in my book. Other guys I saw, Matt Duchene, 157. Trevor Moore, shots on goal machine, 162 for the Kings. Those are all technically sleepers based on how late they're going.
I love Trevor Moore. I'm a huge fan of his game, and I think it's finally translating over to fantasy hockey. He's getting that opportunity, and LA actually likes to use him on the power play now as well, which is a good thing, obviously, for fantasy hockey moving forward. So love Trevor Moore. He's a guy that they like to use in all sorts of situations. I don't mind a Pavel Buchnevich as well, as somebody that I think is going to get slept on a little bit here, guys, because we talked about the Blues a little bit earlier in the podcast. I don't have a lot of interest in them generally, but I think he's going to get the opportunities up front. And I just don't think he's going to be drafted as a top producer in fantasy hockey. I think he slides into the middle round. So Buchnevich is somebody based on where I think he's going to get drafted that provides a lot of value.
One of the sleepers that stands out to me as well is Dylan Strome. I feel like he is consistently underrated when he has exposure to Alex Ovechkin. And I think Alex Ovechkin is popping off this season. He has a milestone to hunt down, and this is the season to make something happen. Washington is clearly not bowing out. They're making moves to remain competitive, and they want to make the playoffs again this year. Dylan Strome getting that exposure. You're going to get at least like 65 points out of this guy. Like, that's a pretty safe bet depending on where he gets positioned in drafts. But Dylan Strome's an easy sleeper for me, Pete.
And when you look at sleeper goalies, there are two obvious names. Two guys both really performed well last year, didn't get a lot of media attention. I guess Decord did around the Winter Classic, but then He tapered off a little bit, but was one of the best workhorse goalies and most efficient ones in the entire league, playing 50-plus games last year for Seattle. If Seattle gets a little bit better with Montour, Chandler Stephenson, the young guys step up, Bjorkstrand stays healthy, all of a sudden they could be back in the wild card race, and Decord should be better than Grubauer. I think we can all agree on that. Connor Ingram for Utah. I mentioned Fedotov earlier. And then also on the blue line, like, Noah Hanifin was so strong for Vegas last year after the trade, Jake. And he was playing on power play one in the playoffs with Mark Stone, Tomas Hertl, Jack Eichel, right? A loaded group. And I really like him if he's in that spot for Vegas and everybody stays healthy.
Hanifin's a complete stud in so many different ways. And I love that Vegas blue line this year, guys. I think that might be one of the stronger blue lines in the league. Them and maybe Boston, if you put it together, I think they're going to lean on that and win a lot of games that way. That also leads me to kind of liking Ilya Samsonov. I know, Anna, we just talked about Leafs goaltending and how, you know, that's been frustrating over the years. Goes from Toronto, I think ends up in Vegas in what I think is a good situation. I think he's going to push for some starts here. Not going to be the guy, but again, you're not going to have to draft him necessarily high in fantasy hockey. I think Samsonov could provide some value on a per game basis. When he gets in there, I think he's going to be insulated. Too much scar tissue, Anna, Samsonov in Toronto, or do you think he could have some success in Vegas here?
I wasn't high on him in Washington. I was not high on him in Toronto. So this is the third team that I'm seeing him on, and I'm still not high on him now heading into Vegas. I just think that, like, that Washington team he was on, he was behind a stellar Stanley Cup winning team, and he still did not perform well. Then he goes to Toronto, and he's behind a solid team, still does not perform well. So environment really doesn't change the way Samsonov plays. So he's someone I'm avoiding. I've done it with him. You know, he's one of those players where, like, I wanted to give him a chance. I tried to give him a chance in Toronto, did not work out. I'm done. I'm over. We're over with Vegas. So Pete, you might have a different opinion than I do, but he's on my list of, I just can't go near him anymore.
I agree. I think there's better deep sleepers than him. He has some name value, Samsonov, but I could see a lot of different guys outperforming him. Like Alex Nedeljkovic for Pittsburgh was a stud last year in his edge save percentage and just keeping that team relevant. Remember late in the year for those two teams, the Islanders like switched from Sorokin to Varlamov randomly, and then the Penguins switched away from Jari towards Nedeljkovic. So don't sleep on that player late in drafts. There's also Jake Allen. We love the Devils, but we know that Jacob Markstrom's getting old here, right? So maybe he's not the elite workhorse we thought in the past, and all of a sudden Jake Allen... Jake, another Jake, we talked about neighbors, but Jakes are all over the place here, and he could benefit from that possession savvy Devils team and all that young talent with the Hughes brothers and Nemich and all these different guys, Heischer and stuff.
While we're on goaltenders, guys, how about the Corpedo in Boston? I know Swayman's there. They're going to get a contract done. He's going to be the guy, and it's going to be full car keys over to Jeremy Swayman. But what if Boston employs the same strategy they did with Ullmark and Swayman? What if we lived in a world where they just decided, yeah, we're still going to alternate starters. It's just not going to be Ullmark anymore. It's going to be Korpisalo and it's going to be Swayman. And, you know, maybe there's going to be a slight lean to Swayman where, you know, okay, if Boston has a few days off, they're going to go back to Swayman, something like that. So it might not be a full 50-50 split, but that's a strategy that's worked out well for Boston the last couple of years. And I think the Corpedo can handle it. So I'm willing to take a shot on him, and he'd be a great handcuff if anything ever happened to Jeremy Swayman to have the starter on Boston. I think Korpisalo's got a ton of value this year.
They're not going to want to burn out Jeremy Swayman in the regular season. They'll want him to be as amazing as he's been the past couple of years, right? And play every single game for them during the postseason. So Korpisalo has a really important value for another strong team in Boston all regular season long. And then, you know, looking at a couple other deep sleepers here, we mentioned Brady Shea, one of the best goal scoring defensemen in the entire league. So you got to love him. JJ Moser, who had some nice spurts for the Arizona Coyotes a couple of years ago, he goes to Tampa Bay, where he could be the number two defenseman behind Victor Hedman, a spot that Sergachev thrived in, right, for years. So JJ Moser, I feel like people don't even know that he went to Tampa, but I think waiver wire James really likes him, so I wanted to give him a shout out. And JJ Moser, what he could do for a strong offense in Tampa.
A couple other defensemen rattling off really quickly. Sean Durzi in Utah. I know I was really high on him before he got there. I think another opportunity for a new environment for him to stand out. And Keandre Miller with the Rangers. Like, everyone's expecting the Rangers to make the playoffs again. Some folks think they're going to win the Metropolitan Division this year or be one or two. Keandre Miller has so much upside just based off of his size and the way he can play. And his issues are just developing in the league more so than stuff that I think is going to be consistent problems for the future, Jake.
I want to shout out Victor Arvidsson as well. I can't quit this guy. I know he gets hurt quite a bit, and that's been a problem for him, especially recently in his career. But I think Jeff Skinner is going to get a lot of the attention going over to Edmonton, and maybe Arvidsson gets forgotten about a little bit when we're looking at that Oilers roster. I know people are going to be lining up to draft Oilers, especially early in their draft, but I think Arvidsson is a weapon, and I think if used properly in that Oilers offense, he could have a monster season, whether it's power play, even strength. So Victor Arvidsson's a guy I'm certainly targeting in drafts this year.
And since we're scrambling to just give shout outs to people we appreciate, Shane Pinto for the Ottawa Senators. Okay. Like, he missed a lot of the time last year, but had 27 points in 41 games. I think he's flying under the radar as well. He played really, really well. He had almost the same amount of point totals as he had two seasons ago when he played a full season and half a season. So I wonder if he takes the next step this year with a full season with the Senators, Pete.
He could certainly do that. And last question for me, bounce back player of the season. Who's it going to be coming up? You can find our list on nhl.com/fantasy in the coming days. The point projections are up there. To me, I think that there's, you know, a guy like Timo Meier that could really thrive if he's up top with Jack Hughes, gets better lineup placement in New Jersey now that some of those guys are out of the room. And I think that the fact that he's hit 40 goals before, Sheldon Keefe, new coach, I think that he could be one of the biggest beneficiaries of a coaching change across the NHL this upcoming year.
Meyer's a good one for me. I'm going to go Elias Lindholm in Boston, guys. Disappointing season last year. Even when Vancouver traded for him, I'm like, okay, you're trading for a player that's underperforming. He wasn't having a good season in Calgary, and then it continued in Vancouver. Did get better in the playoffs, though. I thought he played some decent hockey for the Canucks in the postseason. Comes over to Boston. Everyone has success in Boston, and he's going to be playing on that first power play with the big boys. So I like Lindholm for a big bounce back this year.
I'm going back to New Jersey, but I'm looking at their blue line, and it's Dougie Hamilton for me. You know, he had injury issues that kept him out, and if he plays a full year, like, he's going to do well. He's a 70-point defenseman. He's hit that mark in the past. The New Jersey Devils, very solid roster. So Dougie Hamilton, the exposure he's going to get, I think he's going to maybe have the best year of his career this year.
Looking forward to Mock Draft 1.0. That'll be next on the docket for us here at Fantasy on Ice. So thanks so much for listening. For producer Bob Bender, Anna, Jake, great to see you guys. We'll talk again next time. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.